Begin the current daf, Masechtas Chulin daf Chaf. Begin on the third line down with the top of the Yamut, where the Gemara continues the discussion with the previous daf. That is, our previous Mishnah was contrasting the laws of Shechita, which is by an animal, and that of Malika, which applies to the bird Karbanis in the Beis HaMikdash, where there actually the slaughtering is on the other side, which is by the back of the neck, not like Shechita, which is in the front by the throat. Now, additionally, the sons of Bechiah said that the mitzvah malika is, although you're coming from the back by the neck bone, however, that you manipulate the simanim, the two pipes which are actually in the front, to be in the back, that you end up cutting them before you cut through the neck bone. Now, there are two versions in the Gemara. Does it have to be like that, or is it valid even like that, but generally the way is that you go first through the neck bone? But either way, according to either opinion, obviously, they're saying that it's going to be valid even if one manipulates it and that you do the pipes first before you break through the neck bone. However, Amr Bianai, he says, Yikablu HaRoivin, let the youths, meaning referring to the sons of Reb Chiya, receive as Chuvasan their response to what they're saying, which refutes what they're saying. Because Diktani, we learned in our Mishnah as follows. Our Mishnah said, Nimtze Kosher B'Shechita comes out. What's valid by slaughtering is possible Malika, is invalid by Malika, which is by the thumb, the fingernail of the kain. And Kosher B'Malika, possible B'Shechita, what's valid by Malika is invalid by Shechita. Now, and that is the Gemara, L'me'ute Mai, and this is what Rebbe Yonah is coming to say. What exactly is it coming to exclude? If you're coming to say that, oh, because by the back of the neck, oh, that's saying that, yeah, that's valid, the invalid by Shechita, but valid by Malika. Or, and that by the net, by the throat, that's kosher for Shechita and invalid for Malika. You can't say that's what it's coming to say, which the simple wording sounds like that, because the Mishnah already explicitly said that. So what are you adding on by the word saying, oh, what's valid by that is invalid by that, what's valid by that, invalid by that? Those halachas that we just mentioned are explicit in the Mishnah. Says Rabbi Yanai, Lav Lamu'ute isn't coming to exclude something that's not mentioned in the Mishnah, which would be the case of Machzer Simonim Lachar Ha'arif. If when you're coming from the back of the neck, that you manipulate the Simonim to be in the back of the neck before the neck bone, Deloy, that there we're saying that although that's going to be Kashav Shechita, because although generally Shechita you go from the throat, but as long as you get the two pipes first, even if you're going in the back, it's going to be valid over there, but it's not going to be valid. It's going to be invalid by Malika. That's what seemingly it's saying. What's Kashav Shechita, which is if you manipulate it, is going to be invalid by Malika. Now, once we mention this halacha, and that's what we're coming to refer to, says Rabbi Yanai, that we're coming to tell you a case, what's Kashav Shechita is possible by Malika, which is this not like the sons of Rabbi Chiya, who says that either that it has to be like that, or at least it is valid that way when you put the simanim in the back. We're telling you that once we're telling you that case, so we also additionally said the inverse of kosher b'malika is possible b'shechita. But says Rabbi Yanai, isn't that what we're coming to say in the case of the Mishnah? That it's kosher only b'shechita and that's actually possible by malika, which is not like the sons of Reb Chiya? So that Rabbi Reb Chanani says, loy. No, it's not a refutation of the sons of Reb Chiya. Actually, the reason why the Mishnah says that statement is because of the second half of the statement. Not like Rabbi Yanai wanted to say that it's the primary is the first and like he's trying to prove. No, it's from the halacha of what's kosher b'malika is possible by shechita, which is because l'me'utei shein, it's coming to exclude the halacha of slaughtering with a tooth that's attached to the jaw of an animal, the tziparin, or the fingernail that's attached to the animal, where that's something that's invalid by shechita, and that's what the Mishnah is saying. What's kosher by malika, for example, a fingernail that's attached, because that's actually what the kohen actually does, he uses his fingernail that's attached to him, that's possible by shechita. Now, once we told you the halacha of the fingernail, so the same thing applies to the tooth, because both of them is the same reason, because of something that's being attached, not detached. And once we told you the second half of the statement, that's what we told you the first half of the statement. But it's not coming to tell you, like, he wanted to say because of when you put the simanim in the back, which, yeah, that's kashab b'shechita, but that's kashab b'malika too. What are we excluding when we're saying that only this one is valid and the other one not? Is actually the kashab b'malika upasa b'shechita. And once we said that, we also said the other one, but that's not coming to teach us anything. And it's actually coming to exclude shein in tziparin b'shechita, which is valid by malika, not b'shechita. And that is the Gemara, b'shein b'tziparin b'hedikatanilu. But how could you say that that's what the Mishnah is alluding to in this statement, but a Mishnah on Daf Tezvama Beis explicitly said that what's valid by Shechita is all types of instruments, except from the harvesting sickle and the saw and teeth and fingernails, which we explained that that's Toma when it's attached. So why would we need our Mishnah to tell us that if we already know that from explicit Mishnah? So Elam Rabbi Yirmiyahu, he gives a different interpretation that will show that it's not a refutation of the sons of Reb Chiya, because it doesn't have to be the way Rabbi Yanai interpreted. is Lemu'ute Melech Emevi. It's coming to exclude, if let's say, which he if he went in the front and back forward motion, which that's valid by Shechita, because slaughtering is supposed to be like that, where you go, you don't go just chop, you go back, forward, and backwards, which is invalid by Malika. And again, it's because of the first half of the statement that we said it, which is what's kosher by Shechita is possible by Malika, and once we said the ratio, so we said the Sefer was kosher by Malika is possible by Shechita, but that's the primary teaching, and therefore, it's not a refutation of the sons of Reb Chiya, it's not coming to exclude Machzis Aman Lachayr Ha'irif, which is only kosher by Shechita and possible by Malika. No, that's kosher by Malika too. It's coming to exclude the case of Malika maybe. That is the Gemara. Hanich lemandama melech maybe b'melik impossible. That interpretation only works according to the one who says, which this machlik is Rav Huna and Rava later on in the sugya, that to go forward and backwards is invalid by melika. So you could say that that's what it's excluding. But lemandama kashrim eklemem, according to one who says no, it's valid to do melika that way. You don't have to just push the fingernail through. You can go forward and backwards in those motions the way shrita. So then, what can you say? What are we excluding from this statement if we're not excluding the teachings of the Sanja B'chiyah? So the Gemara, B'nei Reb Chiya Sarvi, L'kamandam, Melech Mevi, Melech Apostle. You're right. The sons of Reb Chiya, who said this halacha, they would explain the Mishnah, that what are we teaching from this statement? We're excluding Melech Mevi, and therefore it's not difficult on them. We're coming to tell you what's kosher by Shechita is possible by Malika, because they hold, like that opinion holds that Malika is possible to do Melech Mevi, and that's what we're coming to exclude, and therefore it doesn't refute their opinion. They could still stand in what they said, that Malika is valid even if one is Mahadu the Simonim L'chayr O'irif, and does cut that first before the neck bone. Now, continuing on this theme that we introduced here in this discussion regarding how is Malika done, is it something that is not valid by Melech Mevi? So Amrav Kani says, Mitzvah Malika, the mitzvah of Malika, is Kaitzitz V'yarid, is that you cut and you go downward. You just drive your fingernail through the back of the neck of the bird. Bezu mitzvah, and that's its mitzvah. So, Savar Rabban Lamei, Rabban thought to say from the statement of Rav Kana, what Rav Kana is saying is, Kaitzitz V'yarid in. Only if you cut and you go down without going forward and backwards as you're going down. You just go straight down. But Melech Mevi Lai, but to go forward and backwards, that's not valid by Malika. That I'm learning Yirmiya, this machlikas that we said, is Melech Mevi Kasher B'Melika not? He says, no, Kolshkin the Melech Mevi B'Melika Kasher. He says, to the contrary, for sure Melech Mevi would be valid by Malika, because as long as we don't have something that the Pasuk excluded by the laws of Malika, as it did in regards to using a knife, and from the neck, and from the throat, where although generally Shechita requires with a knife and from the throat, the Torah explicitly tells you that Malika is not like that. You don't do it from the throat, you do it from the back of the neck, you don't do it with a knife, you do it with a fingernail. But everything else, as long as it didn't exclude it, Malika should be just like Shechita, and it would be all the more better. So if Shechita has to be forward and backward, so then of course it's going to be valid by Malika. Zuhi mitzvah, so then what does Rav Kana mean when he says that this is its mitzvah? Ema, he's saying av zuhi mitzvah. That's also the mitzvah. But it's not saying that's the only way. And that's that halacha, that the discussion that we said, is Malika maybe kasha by Malika or not? Is it that it's only valid kaitzit v'yard? Or that we're saying that it's going to be even valid, but of course it's even better to do it Malika maybe. Now continuing on this theme, Amar B'Yimer Amar Shmuel, he says, kol kasha b'shchita, whatever is valid by slaughtering, connected by Oyriv Kasha B'Malika, corollaring in that same regard, in the back of the neck, is going to be valid for Malika. Now, as Rashi points out, Shmuel is not talking about the halachas of slaughtering itself. Because if that would be the case, then there would be many questions on the statement. Because Shechita is not the same equivalent as Malika. Because if you hold Malika maybe is possible by Malika, so then you could say it's not true. You have going forward and backwards, which is valid by Shechita, and which is possible by Malika. And additional, by Shechita has to be something that's detached, and by Malika it could be attached. And even if you're going to say that Melech Mevi is kosher by Malika, and we're saying that it's even going to be kosher when you kaitzit v'yayrid, but then you have a difficulty in the second half of Shmuel's statement, which is the inference that the Gemara is going to shortly make, which is, oh, but whatever is possible by Shechita is possible by Malika. Problem is not like that, because by kaitzit v'yayrid, by cutting and going straight down, that's possible by Shechita, and it's kosher by Malika. Rather, says Rashi, what Shmuel is telling us is the validity of the placing of the Shechita. Where is the area that you could do Shechita? And that's what he's saying. Any area on the throat that's valid for Shechita, that on the opposite side, in the back of the neck, is going to be valid in the area of what's called Mul Ha'ariv for the Malika to be done on the bird carbon. Now, the Gemara asks on the statement of Shmuel, the inference is, Ha'pasal b'Shechita, what's invalid by slaughtering, is possible by Malika, is invalid by Malika. Because as Rashi points out, it's obvious that Shmuel's teaching is really primarily coming to teach us this inference, that what's possible by Shechit is possible by Malika. Because if he's coming to tell us what his statement itself is telling us, that whatever part of the neck, which is called Mul Ha'ariv, is valid for Malika, just like the opposite in the front is valid for Shechita, but that our Mishnah explicitly told us what's the valid area of the Malika itself, which is Mul Ha'ariv. Rather, says Rashi, and that's what the Gemara is pointing out, that Shmuel is obviously coming to tell us the invalidity, what's not going to be valid, which is that what's possible Shechit is possible Malika. So that is the Gemara, so Lamut Emai. What exactly is Shmuel coming to exclude to say, oh, that since it's invalid Shechit, it's going to be possible by Malika? If you think he's coming to tell us that he's excluding by the throat, which is higher than the area of the throat, we don't need, in the neck to be higher up by the head, that we don't need Shmuel to tell us, because that's literally the Irif, that's the back of the head, and the Pasuk explicitly tells us by Malik has to be Mul Arpai, opposite that area, which is lower down by the neck, and not the Irif itself. So, says the Gemara, Ilei Melum with the Ikur Simonim, so if you think that what he's coming to exclude is, if the pipes had been pulled out, which, since that's not a neck, a throat that would be valid for Shechita, because one of the five invalidations of Shechita is if there's ikur, if the pipes were not slaughtered before it got pulled out from where it's connected to the animal. So since that's not valid in Shechita, so we would say that the back of the neck would not be valid for such an animal for Malika, because this doesn't make the animal a trefa. It just says that's not a valid Shechita when you have ikur. So therefore you would say, okay, that's what Shmuel's saying. What's invalid for Shechita, now if you're doing this Malika on the animal and it had Iker, that's what's saying would be invalid. On that is the Gemara, you can't say that's what is excluding, because Batani Rama Bar Yecheskel says, Ein Iker Saman Ba'if. There isn't any halachic invalidation of Iker at all by a bird, and therefore actually even Shechita would be kosher by the throat. So you can't say that since it's not valid by Shechita, it wouldn't be valid by Malika. So what exactly is Shmuel come to exclude? So Amar Rapavi says, Lamute Raisha is coming to exclude the head of the animal if you do Malika from the head. So as we mentioned before, the Gemara asks, Raisha, the head? Pshita, obviously that's invalid. That's an explicit pasuk. Mimul or Poyam Rachman, the Torah says, from what's opposite the back of the head, Vileba Raisha, you can't do Malika on the head. Meaning, just like Shechita, it would be telling us it's possible too high up, to be saying that Malika also would be possible too high up. Well, that's in the head, that we know. Says the Gemara, no, my Raisha, what does it mean the head? It means Shipur Raisha, it means the slant, the slope of the head, when it starts sloping down towards the neck, which is the slope of where Malika would be kasha. Now, specifically, Kugain the Nakat Meshipud Raisha, we're talking about where he started the Malika from the slope of the head, which is still out of the area of where Shechita would be kasha, and again, the corollary, we're talking about where Malika wouldn't be kasha. But then the Higrim V'Ozl Adamotet Tatoi. But then he slanted as he was doing the Malika until he came downward to where the Samanim are, opposite the area of where Shechita is valid, and that's where he concluded the Malika, because as Rashi points out, if you think Shmuel would be coming to exclude when he did the majority of it by the slant of the head, which is literally the Irev, Shmuel wouldn't have to teach us that, because, as we said, the Pasuk explicitly says, Mul Arpai, and it's not valid by the Irev. Rather, what Shmuel is coming to exclude is even if only the minority of the Malika was done there in the back of the head, and the majority was done actually where it's valid to do Malika, Shmuel is coming to tell us that just like Shechita is going to be possible because you started in an invalid place, because Okud Rav Huna Maravasi, he's going like Rav Huna Maravasi. Dam Rav Huna Maravasi says, Higrim Shlish, if you started the slaughtering of the animal in the throat part, a third of it in the, outside the area of the Shechita, B'shachat Shnei Shlish, and then you slaughtered the majority of it in the appropriate area, Psul is going to be invalid, even though the majority was B'makam Shechita, because you started on the outside. So therefore, that's what he's telling us, that Shmuel's halacha is also teaching us that whatever's invalid by Shechita is also going to be invalid by Malika. Which again is excluding if you started the first third outside, even though you did the remaining two thirds in the area where Malika is supposed to be. Now, continuing what we mentioned before regarding this teaching of Iker, Amale Rav Acha Bered de Rav Rav Ashi says, Hadar Tani Rambam by Yecheskel, this is recorded before the teaching of Rambam by Yecheskel, that Ein Ikur Simon Ba'if, and therefore we said that cannot be the interpretation of what Shmuel is coming to tell us, that it's just like Ikur is possible by Shechita, so Ikur is going to be possible by Malika, because Malika is only by Ya'if, and Ya'if doesn't have at all a problem about Ikur. So that he qualifies, he says, Lo yamaran el lamandama in shchita leif min atara. That teaching of Rambam Yecheskel was only according to the opinion that holds that slaughtering by a bird is not biblical. It's rather rabbinic, as Rabbi Elazar says later on, Perka Sheikha Dev Chav Chesem and Aleph. So since it's rabbinic, so therefore we said that, okay, that slaughtering doesn't have the invalidation about Iker. However, as we continue to Tamid Beis, but according to the pin that says that slaughtering by a bird is also biblical, which it was given over to Moshe Rabbeinu orally, which is what's known as Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai, which is the pin of Rebbe who disagrees with Rebbe Lazar there later on, Perek HaShaychet, which the Brisa says, Rebbe says, it says in the Pasuk, V'zavachta kasher tzivisicha, you should slaughter like I commanded you, which doesn't say anywhere where the commandment was. That teaches that the commandment for Moshe was orally regarding the laws of slaughtering. So even though it wasn't written in the Torah, let's say that slaughtering requires the cutting of the esophagus and the trachea, or that the majority of one pipe for birds and the majority of two pipes for animals, but that's an oral law that doesn't say in the Torah. So obviously we see that that includes the laws of the bird carbon, which is also going to be any bird slaughtering, that's going to be biblical. So according to that opinion of Rebbe, then yesh ikur. That Rambam by Chesed was not going on, because then it's just like any biblical halach of shechita, which would be invalidated if it was done through ikur. And that Amalei, so that he said back to him, no, adrabba, to the contrary. Ibcha mistabra, it's actually logical the opposite way. Lamandami yesh shechita leif min ha-tar, according to one that says that there is slaughtering in a bird biblically, that biblically the Torah says you have to slaughter a bird to eat it. Iklamema, to the contrary, there you could say the Hachi Agmari de Iniker, that was the tradition, that was the what was taught to Moshe and passed down, that a bird is different, that there's no invalidation about Iker. And Vafilaman, and even according to one that over there later on teaches that you actually know the law of slaughtering of a bird from a hekesh, a comparison where the Torah says Zois Torah Sabahima Va'if, where it compares and we learn out a bird from an animal. The Amar Kebehema that says that it's just like an animal, still you could say that since we mentioned that this actual tradition of slaughtering by a bird was taught to Moshe by Har Sinai, because even a Hekesh was taught to Moshe Rabbeinu by Har Sinai, and that's how we know the Udgam Amidus, we know that it's tradition that was taught to by Hashem to Moshe Rabbeinu orally at Har Sinai, still you could say, even though it's deterred comparing the bird to the animal, you could say, but that's what the Messiah was saying, but regarding Iker, it's not the same as an animal. And therefore, to the contrary, the one that says that Shechita Leif Min HaTaira, you could say that's what Rambam Yecheskel was talking about, that there's no problem about Iker. Elamandam Ein Shechita Leif Min HaTaira, but according to one that says it's not biblical, it's Elam Derisayim, it's only rabbinic, then Mehecha Gemirla. So then where exactly do we know? In other words, what are we relying on when we come and we institute a law of slaughtering for a bird to eat it? Mebehema, we learn that from an animal, which has its biblical origin. So therefore, kula milsa kebehema, then you would say, okay, why would we differentiate? We're leaning and we're learning out the halachas of the bird, we're relying on the laws of behema, we would say it has the same halacha that says it has ikur. If you say it's not Torah, you could say that was the halacha of Moshe Sinai. And therefore it says, to the contrary, we could say the other way around, the teaching of Rambam Yecheskel was only according to Mandama, yesh oif min ha-Torah, but according to the one who holds ein oif min ha-Torah, would not differentiate and say that ikur would be apostle, even in an oif, even when coming to slaughter a bird. Yeah. However, Amar Ravina, he says a different qualification. He says, Amali Ravin Bar Kisi, who Kisi was the name of a sage, he says, Hadatani Rambam Yecheskel ein ikur siman ba'oif, this that we learned, that he says there's no problem about when one's coming to Malika by a bird, if there was Iker, if the pipe got pulled out from where it's connected before he went and he did the Malika, that's not a problem by a bird, it's only a problem by an animal. Loyamoran elbe Malika, that was only said regarding Malika, by Kachim, when you do Malika. Because since there's no problem about Malika, obviously with Dirasa and Chalada, because that's obviously when you're coming to do the Malika, you're going to be pressing and you're going to be borrowing. That's not an invalidation. So therefore, that's where Ikur of the Simanim is also not invalidations. But even by a bird, when you're doing slaughtering, like by Chulin, then of course there's going to be a problem by Ikur. It's no different than Shechit of Behema. And that's not where his halacha was said. His halacha was only said by a bird that's doing Malika, since it doesn't have all those other invalidations of Shechit, doesn't have that of Ikur. And that is the Gemara. But Va'amr B'yamir Amishmul, which we had mentioned before, that kol, the entire neck, hakasha b'shchita, the entire throat, that's valid for slaughtering, As we quoted this in Oman Alf. So corollary, the area on the back of the neck is going to be valid for Malika. So we said that that statement is obvious. Rather, Shmuel is teaching us hapasl, that what's invalid by Shechita is invalid by Malika. Now, if you're saying that the neck, which there was ikr simanim, is pasul by Shechita, even you're saying by a bird, so how could you say it's going to be kasher by Malika? You see, clearly Shmuel is saying that they're the same thing. What's pasul by Shechita is pasul by Malika. Yet here you're saying in the bird itself that it's going to be kasher by, it's going to be pasul by Shechita, and yet kasher by Malika. Says the Gemara, Hahu, that teaching of Rabbi Yirmi, in the name of Shmuel, you're right, it's pliga, obviously disagrees with Rav and Bar by Kisi, because Rabbi Yirmi holds that even by Shechita there is no problem by Iker, not like the way he's qualifying that he says that by Shechita there would be a problem by Iker. Now, Rashi points out that actually the halacha doesn't even follow this brisa of Rami by Yecheskel that says that there's no Iker by Oiv, which we're having discussions and disagreements about how to qualify that statement, because explicitly we learned in the brisa later on of Chav Chesam Anaf that says that if, let's say, someone slaughtered the esophagus and then the trachea got pulled out, what's called Iker, so then it's going to be kasher. Let's say first the trachea got pulled out and then they slaughtered the esophagus, so that's pasul. Let's say he slaughtered the esophagus and he finds the trachea pulled out and he doesn't know, was that before the Shechita, was it after the Shechita pulled out? So there was such an incident. And he said, whatever's a doubt by Shechita is going to be pasul. So obviously you see that there is an invalidation of Iker by Oif, because that halacha is talking about by a bird. And the fact that it says that if he slaughtered the esophagus and then the trachea was pulled out, it's going to be kasher, that's only by a bird, where it's valid the Shechita, even with just one simen being shechted, and the fact that the other one was pulled out afterwards is not a problem. Now, if you're going to ask, but then we have a contradiction of Tanoic sources, because the teaching of Rabbi Yecheskel is a braisa, and that says Rashi, you could say one is like the opinion that holds Shechita la'if is minatayr, and the other one holds Shechita la'if is not minatayr. And since we don't paskin, it's not clear in the Gemara which one is the appropriate one, the halacha always is, by biblical law, we go after the more stringent opinion, and we say that there is going to be ikur minatayr by oif, not like this teaching of Rabbi Yecheskel holds that ain ikur l'simanim ba'if. Now, the Gemara continues on this topic about regarding slaughtering in the Eirif, in the back of the head. Amaziri says, Nishbara mafrekes v'reiv basar. So let's say someone's doing a regular slaughtering, let's say, even if he does it from the throat. But like this idea of what we're comparing with Malika, which is generally done, that's done from the back of the neck, which is the spinal cord and the spine breaks. So if, let's say, by an animal, the spine, the backbone breaks, together with the majority of the flesh that's on the spine, on the spinal cord, which is in the back of the neck, if, let's say, that gets cut off, ima with it, so then, nevela, the animal is already considered a nevela, which is something that it died without a proper slaughtering, and it's going to contaminate ritually right away, even though, and this is the chiddush, is the novelty, even though it's what's called mifrachesis, even though the animal is still shaking, we consider it literally like it's dead, and therefore any subsequent slaughtering would not purify it from tumas nevela, from any impurity, from any halachic invalidations, because it's already considered dead. You can't slaughter a dead animal. Now, Amr of Chizr, Chizr says, and there are those who, as we'll see later on, explain this as actually a question, although the simple wording sounds like he's supporting. He says, Afananam Tanin, he says, oh, we also learned like this, of this teaching of Ziri in the Mishnah Masechta Zvachim, but there are those who say it as a question, as if, why do you have to tell us this? We already know this from a Mishnah Masechta Zvachim, that says as follows. Malak, if let's say the kain's doing Malika on a bird of Kachem, which is supposed to do Malika, you're supposed to cut off the neck of the bird. But instead of doing it with his fingernail as he's supposed to do it, he does the Malika Bisakin with a knife. So that animal is considered, that bird's considered a nevela, as if it just died without the appropriate way how you're supposed to go ahead and, quote, slaughter this bird. And therefore, whoever's going to eat this dead kosher bird, it's going to be metame begodma besabli. It's going to contaminate his garments that he's wearing at the time when he swallows that piece of kosher bird that was not, quote, slaughtered properly. Now, why we're saying it's contaminates the begodim that he's wearing when it's in his throat, it's not going to contaminate garments that he's wearing beforehand, neither is it going to contaminate garments that he puts on afterwards when it's in his stomach. It only contaminates when it's in his throat. Because the halacha is that there's actually no tumah of what's called maga, of touching a kosher bird that's a nevela. The only tum it has is when the person is swallowing it and it's in his throat, then it contaminates him with the clothing that he's wearing. As the Brisa teaches in Teretz Kainim, the Pasuk says, Nevelu treifa lo yoichel utamaba, a person should not eat a nevela, which is an animal or a bird that was not properly slaughtered, or an animal, a bird with a mortal defect, that's a treifa, he should not eat it to be contaminated. Which is, that's what it says in Mikach HaBeis. So too, it says a Pasuk there in Perek Yitzayin, V'nefesh ha-shatechon nevelu treifa be'ezach ha-begir, if someone's going to eat a nevela or treifa, so he's going to have to wash his garments, and he's going to have to bathe himself, and he's tummy until the evening, and then he becomes pure. Now, those psukim are talking about a bird. How do we know this? As the Brisa teaches, you would think that an nevela of a behemoth, of an animal, would contaminate also a person when the piece of meat is in his throat. For example, let's say his friend sticks the piece of meat into his throat and he never touches it. So although a behemoth contaminates with maga, he never touched it. So too, this that it touches in his throat, that's called tumas basis sum in a hidden place, that doesn't contaminate through the tumah of maga of just touching. Additionally, there's no tumah of masa to contaminate him, because that would be with carrying, and he didn't move until he swallowed it. So you would think, okay, there's no tumas maga masa, but he would be contaminated by tumas of that it's because bebeis b'liyasa in his throat. That's what the Pasuk teaches, lo yechel tumah ba. He should not eat it to be contaminated with it. Ba sounds like an exclusionary terminology, which is telling us that the tumah bebeis b'li is only somebody that has a tumah only this way through consumption, like it says, lo yechel, don't eat it, and it says ba. To say only here do we say that it's going to be tumma in the throat, but not in another situation, that excludes the nevela of a behema, which does contaminate in a different way, even through touch. As the Pasuk says in Vayikur Yeralf, and Nagei ben Avlasa, if you touch the nevela of an animal, you become tummy. So therefore, obviously, the Pasuk is tumma only by a bird, which only a bird becomes tummy, the person becomes tummy when he's swallowing that kosher, non-slaughtered bird that contaminates in his throat. Now, as it says over there, you would think that a nevela of a oif, a bird that was not properly slaughtered, should be tummy from that pasuk, but then additionally, the nevela of a behemoth should be from a kal v'chomer, because if a bird does not contaminate through touching or through carrying, and still contaminates when it's a person's throat, so too a behemoth should be tummy beis abliya. That's so again, like it says, ba, only here you can be tummy beis abliya, but you're not going to be tummy in the veil's behemoth when it's in the throat. So then the question Rashi asks is the obvious question. So then why does it say by a behemoth v'ichol menevlasa, whoever eats from its nevela? So it's not coming to say regarding the tumah when it's in the throat. That's coming to give a measurement for the halacha of touching and carrying, which is like what is the measurement of that would contaminate through touch and through carrying. That's like the measurement of consumption, which a size of a kazayas, as all that is explained within the Braisa, where there is no tumah for nevela sevitar, only this one in the throat, but there's no other tumah of magamasa, and the animal only has that of magamasa, not that of tumah bebeis abli. So that says the Mishnah Masechta Zvachim. So if someone did malika with a knife, so he made it into nevela because he didn't do a proper malika, and therefore it's dead, and now it's going to be contaminated like the way a kosher bird, when it's nevela, it's going to be tamed to the person when it's in his throat. That's the Mishnah. Says Rav Chisda, now V'yamrita, if you would say that this case of Ze'iri, that when someone, when the neck bone of the, with the spinal cord of the animal breaks, with the majority of the flesh there on the neck tears apart, that if we would say, let's say, not like Ziri, that Terefa Havya, that all it would be that it's not in the veil, it didn't die yet. It's still alive, it's just a mortal defect. It's what's called a Terefa. So then the problem you would encounter is Malikasa, when you're doing the Malika with the knife, that since it's not Malika, as we're saying, because Malika has to be with the fingernail, it's not kosher with the knife. So essentially what it would be doing, it would be like breaking the neck bone without doing a slaughtering. And then when you reach, however, the simanim, the pipes, and you cut it with a knife, but then that malika should be zuhi shechitasa. That should be like slaughtering a trefa. Because again, when the neck bone breaks, if you're saying not like ziri, and that's what it's coming to prove, like ziri, that if it would say it doesn't make it in the veil, it just makes it into trefa. So then when you finally do get to the simanim, that should be like a shechita on a trefa. And the Gemara says later on, Perek Oiv Reitam and Daf Chof Chesam at Beis, that when you have a trefa that was slaughtered, although you can't eat it, but it does not convey tumah. And therefore here also, as the Gemara is going to explain, it should not convey tumah. Yet the Mishnah within Zvachim is saying it does convey tumah. Now, although actually that the regarding Kachim, the Gemara says later on that actually it does convey tumah. So what are we trying to entertain over here? So that's and here with the bird that we're talking about here in the Mishnah Masechta Zvachim is Kachem. That Rashi says no, that halacha is only rabbinic and therefore by a behema. But the Tumah Beis Abliyah regarding an oif, which is biblical, that we don't say because over there the Gemara says that's only rabbinic that we say that's going to convey Tumah. Now, so therefore, what we're asking is that the malika that you're doing on the Simam should be the Shechita because ultimately it's being cut with a knife, which is valid for Shechita. And therefore, as Rav Chisda Tahani Lo Sakin, so then the knife should be effective, that when you're cutting the Simanim with the knife, Litara B'dei Nevela, that should purify it from Nevela. So therefore, obviously, says Rav Chisda, a raya to Ziri, or again, a question on Ziri, why does he have to say it if it's an explicit Mishnah, Pesachta Zvachim, that you see, obviously, he makes it into a Nevela, and not just into a Trefa, because if it was a Trefa, then actually, Shanaka made Tama on the Begotten Beis Ablei, whoever eats from that oif bird carbon that was slaughtered with a knife because it was nitar by doing shrit on the siman after it was turned into a trefa. Now, as Rashi points out, if someone's going to ask, why is he asking from a Mishnah Zvachim? Why couldn't he ask from our Mishnah that says explicitly? Some of the shrita from the oirif, from the back of the neck, the shrit is pasul. And we said the reason is because you're breaking the neck bone. What do you mean breaking the neck bone? If you say that's only trefa, but then when you get to the simanim, that should be mitar from the tumah. So that says Rashi, no, because you could say the reason is because it's trefa, and not because of nevela. And it's talking about the fact that it's just not kosher to eat. And therefore, there wouldn't be a raya from our Mishnah, but that's what Rav Chisda is trying to prove in the Mishnah Masechta Zvachim, that you see, that obviously makes it into nevela, not just a trefa. So in that army they said, no, that's not a raya. Hasa mishum delav shchita hi klal. There in the Mishnah Masechta Zvachim, the reason why it's going to be tameh, even if you would say it's a trefa, not like ze'iri, is simply because you didn't purify it at the end by shechting a trefa, because you never did a shechita at all. So Zimmer, my time, what's the reason? What do you mean? If you're saying that breaking the neck bone of an animal or bird, whatever it is, and the majority of the flesh only makes it into a trefa, but then when you get to the two simanim at the end, so that should be matar. Like we said, if someone shechts a trefa, it's going to be purified from tama. On that says the Gemara, no, because it's not a shechita. Why? So Rav Huna, he says, "Mneishu machlid," because in this situation, when you do malika with a knife, if you're coming through the back of the neck, as malika is generally done, after that you detach the vertebrae in the spinal cord, so then you're sticking the knife underneath the bones, because the truth is, and physiologically, the bones do not expand on either side when you're coming to chop down from the back of the neck. Meaning, in contrast to a general slaughtering, when you're slaughtering, as we explained in the previous dafim, the makom shechita expands. And therefore, wherever you're cutting, it's not burrowing under anything. But here, when you're coming from the spinal cord, it stays in its place. And therefore, when you're going to end up cutting beneath the bones to cut the samanim, that essentially is the psul of shechita, what's called halada, borrowing, because you're digging under the bones, because the bones are still staying where they are, and therefore it's hidden, that's considered halada, and that's why it's going to be invalid in the situation, it's not a shechita at all, and therefore it's not a raya to this halach of ziri. Rav Amar gives a different reason why it's not a shechita, it's an issue of dairus, because you're literally pushing down, and you're not doing what shechita requires, which is melech maybe going forward and backwards, as the Gemara said in Amud Aleph, that how is malika done? Kaitzitz v'yayrid, you go straight down, you chop down, that's the mitzvah. So therefore, you're not doing a shechita to purify it, even if it was a trefa from its tumah, because you're not doing a shechita, you're doing hadrasa, which is one of the invalidations of a shechita. So the Gemara explains, Mandam Mneshu Machar, according to the one that says because you're borrowing, my Tamala Mneshu Daris. Why doesn't he say simply because Malika is you go push straight down and you're not doing Mailech maybe for it to be considered a Shechita? Says the Gemara, it's Kasava, Mailech maybe, but Malika Kasha, as we mentioned this in the Manav, he holds that no, actually, Malika could be done going forward and backwards. And therefore, this that we said in the Mishnah Masechta Zvachim that Malk Besakin is going to be Tame, it doesn't specify. It doesn't differentiate if you're doing kites of a yard going straight down or melech maybe. So you can't say the reason why it's possible is because dairus, because it could be not being dairus, could be going back and forth, and therefore he has to say it's because of borrowing. Now the Gemara asks, Umandam amneshu dairus, according to one that says the problem is because of pushing down, my time alam amneshu machal, why doesn't he say the problem is because it's not a shechita because of borrowing? So Amalach, he would tell you because no. This invalidation of chalad the hechadami, how do you qualify this invalidation of borrowing, which means like digging under? That's like the root, like we find, chalad is kechulda, like a weasel, hadar b'ikri batim, which dwells in the foundations of houses. Demechasi, where he's hidden, is always beneath the ground. So However, that's how borrowing is in validations. Here, it's still revealed, meaning that even though you're right, like we're saying, the bones do not expand so much to reveal the area of where it's being slaughtered. However, the knife itself that's being used to cut is still visible and revealed the whole time that you're cutting, although you don't see everything. Since it's revealed, therefore that wouldn't qualify for the psul of chalada, and therefore he doesn't say that interpretation. But again, that's what the Gemara is saying, that Rav Chisda, either again, it's not a question, or it's not a support on Z'iri, because the Mishnah over there could even be going that it's a treifa, not a nevela, and yet the Shechita subsequently is not going to be tarred from its tarfis to say that it's not going to be tamei, rather it's going to die as a nevela, because it's not considered Shechita, either because it's considered Dairis, or because it's considered Machlid. Now, so Omar Rabbi, he says, Ikashili, and this is the reason of those who say Rav Chisda has a question, which Rav is saying that, you're right, the question of Rav Chisda, like we just said, is not difficult, because the Mishnah in Zvachim doesn't say his teaching. But that said, Rav says that if I do have a difficulty in this teaching of Z'iri, regarding that if the spinal cord with the majority of the flesh in the back has broken, the animal is already considered in the Vela, Hakashli. It's the following idea that's difficult to me. Because since he's saying that such an animal is considered already a nevelos, obviously it's considered that it's dead. So then this that the Torah tells us that malika, that's the malika that's valid by kachim, what you need to do is you have to cut through the back of the neck, and then you cut the simonim, as the Gemara says in the next daf. So then asks Rabbi as follows, V'chi, is it that after that this bird is already like dead, because you're coming from the back of the neck, you've already broken the spinal column with the majority of the flesh. So then why then do you go ahead and you cut through to do malika on the simonim? In other words, his question is essentially that if you say that not like Ziri, that it's just considered as a trefa if it breaks the spinal column without the malika, but it still has its life and that it's not dead yet, it's just a trefa, it's a moral defect, it ultimately will die, but not dead yet. So then we could understand why doing malika on the simonim is going to be considered a malika. And you're not going to say it's considered a treifa, because that's the way the Torah tells you to do it. Where if you didn't delay and do some other thing that would make it a treifa, the fact that you cut the spinal column and the majority of flesh before you got to the simonim, that's not making it a treifa, because that's essentially what happens by every time you slaughter. When someone's slaughtering, if he makes a hole into the esophagus, so that's generally makes the esophagus into a treifa, but since it's on his way that he's doing the shechita, when he concludes the shechita, it's going to be valid. If he didn't do any delay, what would be called the psul of shia? So I would understand that if breaking the spinal column and the majority of flesh makes it to trefa, so okay, we could understand why the malika would be making sense when you're cutting the pipes. But according to Z'iri, who considers the bird, the animal, already as dead, so mesa oimed malik, how can we understand the halacha of the Torah? You're doing malika on pipes of an animal that's already dead? What would be that utility? So Amalei Abaya says, what do you mean? What's your question on Ziri? You should ask on a situation on every bird carbon oila, which the Gemara tells us later on in the Sugya Debayishne Simanim, that when you're cutting, doing the malika on the bird oila, both simanim, both pipes, the windpipe, the food pipe, both have to be cut. Now, they're also, you have to do malika on something that's already dead, because by a bird we most definitely know, as is the laws of regular slaughtering of chulin, that the bird already dies with one of the simanim being cut. So what would be the integrity of cutting the second pipe? What's your question on Ziri? That's a question on every eyeless life. On that, Rabbi says to him, no. Hussam over there, that's not because of malika. You're right, malika wouldn't make sense to do on the second pipe, because it's already dead from the first pipe. Rather, the reason why you have to cut the second pipe by the oil saif is k'dei l'kayim b'mitzvah avdalah, is to fulfill the mitzvah of separation. As Gemara teaches us later on, the pasuk says umolak, that you have to malika, and it says v'hikta, that you have to go and burn, which compares the two halachas, just like the burning of the bird oila. The head is burned separately and the body is burned separately. So it was telling us that malika has to make the head separate and the body separate. That's why you have to cut both pipes, but not because of malika, it's just for separation. So therefore it's not a question. On that as Abaya, but if that's the case, an Urinami, then you should also have to separate the skin of the bird to totally separate the head from the body. Why does the Braisa tell us later on in the next Dav that according to the Rabbanan you have to cut both pipes, and according to Lazar Reb Shimon you have to cut the majority of both pipes, but no one says anything about disconnecting the skin. But if it has to be totally detached, then it should also require, because of Mitzvah Abdullah, to separate from the skin too. No, that says Rava, no. Kol ma'akev b'shchita, whatever is integral for the slaughtering, ma'akev b'avdala. That's integral for the separation. Whatever is not integral for the slaughtering is not integral for the separation. Therefore, the skin of the bird, which is not integral in slaughtering, because even if all of the skin would have been taken off before the slaughtering, it would be valid, as the Gemara says later on, Daf Nundal Min Aleph. In contrast, by the simanim, that what's contingent on shechita, the Torah says, is the simanim, which, like a tchil, you need to have all of it, as the Mishnah teaches later on the Chazayin Min Aleph. So therefore, by Havdalah, to separate, it's integral also to have the separation of the second pipe too. And therefore, that's not difficult on that halacha of the Oilas Oif. But then that continues Abaya asking, but v'miyat simanim, the minority that's left of the pipe, l'rabban, according to Rabban, who they disagree later on, the Sugar and Blazer Reb Shimon, that they say, it's not enough by the Oilas Oif to cut the majority of both those pipes. You have to actually cut all of both those pipes. Even though, delay ma'akvi b'shchita, that's not integral by slaughtering. Slaughtering, you only have to cut the majority. And yet, ma'akvi b'avdol, and yet it is integral by the separation. So, back to the question. So then, to hide the skin, the oir of the bird too, although it's not integral for shchita, it should be ma'akvi b'avdol, if you're saying that the reason of cutting the second pipe is for avdol purposes. So Leimer rather says, Rabbi, no, say, what I was saying is, whatever is in the category of slaughtering is in the category of separation, which includes the pipes. Although you don't need them, all of it, but in that category, so then all of that has to be separated. Whatever is not in the category of slaughtering is not in the category of separating, and therefore the skin, which is not in the category, is not required to be separated. And therefore, Rabbi says to Abai, what you're asking on my question on Ziri is not relevant because it's not the same question. There you wouldn't have the question. Therefore, the Gemara continues on top of Chafal of Manalf and says, and therefore, Mukal Makum Kasha. So we're left with the question of Rava that, so what's the utility? Are you going to go ahead and do Malika on a dead bird? If it's like Ziri that says when you cut the neck bone with the majority of the flesh that's considered dead, why would we be doing Malika? It's different than, like we said, the Oilas Oif, which is not for Malika purposes, just for separation purposes. So Amar Rava, he answers his own question. He says, Eima chein hu aisa. He says, obviously then, you know what you have to do when you do Malika? You do as follows. Chaytich shedra umafrekes. What you do is you cut the spine and the spinal cord below rive, without a majority of the whiff of the busser of the flesh of the back of the spine. So therefore, it's not yet dead, because the teaching of Ziri was that if the spinal cord with the majority of the flesh was cut, then it's dead. But if you go ahead and you cut through cutting the spinal cord without the majority of the flesh, and then you cut the pipes, it's not yet dead. It's not yet an avela, and that's how you're supposed to do malika. Similarly, as the Gemara says, Kiselik Reb Zeri went up to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkechil Rebami, the Yasa Bekama Lahoshmaita. He found Rebami, who is sitting and teaching this teaching of Zi'iri, where it's considered nevel, it's dead if the spinal cord and the majority of flesh is cut. So Amalei, so on that, Reb Zeri said to him, if he's saying the animal's already considered dead, so then every time we're doing Malika, where the Torah says, you have to cut the Simanim, so what, you do Malika on a dead bird, what would that be, what would that gain? So he was in wonderment for a moment. He was silent and he was thinking, what should he answer to that question? So Malay, so and that Reb Zera said to him, Imakacho is to say, you know, this is how he's supposed to do it. Chaytich shedru mafrekes below rive basar. You cut the spinal cord and the spine without the majority of the flesh. So it's not yet an avela, and then you chaytich simanim, and then you'll cut the majority of the flesh. That's the way you have to do it, because the Rus, like Ziri had said, it's already considered dead, and then there'd be no utility of doing Malika on the simanim on a dead bird.